Well, one of the great psalms of all time has to be the 23rd Psalm. And it's a psalm that's very familiar to those of us who are in men's prayer, in the men's prayer group, as we had it for a number of years. Many of you remember Sammy Gillespie. And as soon as I saw this psalm, Every time he would always read the 23rd Psalm, every time. In fact, there were a couple of times that Sammy was not going to read or didn't act like he was going to read. And Father Scott, who was leading the group, at the end, he would just like, wait. Okay, we're waiting for somebody else to read. You remember that? And Sammy would finally open his Bible and read the 23rd Psalm. He'd always read it. And it's always such a joy to hear the psalm and consider the Lord as our shepherd. And that's what we're going to do today, and consider the Lord as our shepherd. Now, in the Old Testament writers used the idea of shepherd as a metaphor. It's really a term of leadership. And the Israelites were a nomadic people. And so they moved around, and shepherds, the actual shepherds, were very, very integral part of the nomadic experience. They had the cattle, the sheep, the goats. They took care of all of the animals, and they led them with the people and cared for those, so the folks, the people, would have food to eat. And so shepherds were an incredibly important part of the early life of the Israelites. And there are some shepherds that we should consider because they remind us of who we are in a little different way, I think. And I think if we consider a few of them, we'll begin to understand possibly some leadership skills and leadership ideas that are pretty obvious in our own lives today. So there are three leaders that we're going to consider just for a minute, and the first one that we're going to consider is Moses. Moses was, because they're all shepherds, they're all called shepherds. Isaiah 63:11 calls Moses the shepherd of Israel, and he certainly was a shepherd. He was actually, as you remember, he was raised in the king's palace and murdered a fella and had to flee. Long story short, murdered a fella, fled, and became a shepherd. He was a shepherd over sheep. And that's when God tapped on his shoulder and said, I need you for a small project. Right? And so we know the story of Moses. We know that Moses was called out of the desert as a shepherd into a big role. Now, what was his first reaction when God came calling? Lord, I'm not worthy of this. Don't call me. I don't speak very well. I don't even like these people. I don't want to do that. Pretty much, that's what he was saying. Like, you know, don't pick me. Pick somebody else, because we don't get along real well. And but it's important to recognize that God is in the business of promoting those whom he calls. Okay? So we are his disciples, and so, you know, when we're tapped on the shoulder and we're called, it's not us that God needs vessels. And he needed a vessel in Moses, and that's who he found, somebody that would hear his voice and listen to his call. And so because of that, because of Moses' final willingness to participate, God promoted him to an incredibly high level, an incredibly high place of honor and respect among people of all faiths, all religions, really. Moses is really considered one of the greatest leaders of all time. Led a million people, hundreds of thousands of people, out of Israel and towards the promised land. Now, you know that he didn't make it there, but another shepherd boy named Joshua, who in Numbers 27:16 is called the shepherd of Israel as well. And you remember when God came calling Joshua pretty much said the same thing. I'm not really prepared for this. I'm not really ready to lead. But, when Moses sent the spies into the land, there were only two that came back with a good report. There were Joshua and Caleb. And their leadership skills were demonstrated then because they didn't look at the negative ideas of what God was asking them and where he was asking them to go. They didn't see, the others saw too many obstacles, too many problems. The mountains are too big, the people are too big, it's too far, it's this, it's that. But isn't it interesting that Joshua and Caleb came back and said, hey, the land's flowing with milk and honey. We could go get some of that. That's where God wants us to be. And so they demonstrated faith. They just demonstrated a tremendous amount of faith in where God was leading them. Now, they didn't know. They probably imagined that that's where they needed to go, but were they ready to do that? Were they ready to step up and take that step? And the answer that 10 came back with was, hey, no. No, we cannot go. We can't do this. It's too big. It's too big a project. It's too big a problem. It's too many hurdles. So we're not ready. But these two guys said, yes, let's go. The only two people that made it to the promised land were Joshua, of all the people in Israel that made it through the wilderness and into the promised land were Joshua and Caleb, the only two. Moses couldn't go because, that's a whole different story. But what I want you to see is there's a kind of a pattern developing. Moses was a murderer, pretty much, but God still used him because he was willing. He didn't want to do it. It wasn't like, yes, thank you, Lord, I've been waiting for your call. I've just been waiting for a phone call. I've been here. I've just been hanging out in the desert, just getting ready for this. He didn't say that. And see, most of us are in that same boat. We're just average folks. We're just average people. We have some people that we influence, but maybe not a lot. Maybe there's just a few. Moses had no one but his family and the sheep. Joshua was a little different story, but he was developed. Really, he developed his character as a warrior, and that's what God needed at the time. He had a burning desire to move the people into the promised land at tremendous cost, but God gave them favor, and he gave favor to Joshua. The other one I want to consider, and the last one I want to consider, is David, King David. Probably the most, all these are very familiar, but King David, you know the story. It's the same story. Although David was raised a little differently, he was raised in a very affluent household. And he just got to be the sheep herder. And, his brothers all got an opportunity to win the day for Israel. But God didn't want the big brothers to do it. He wanted little David to do it. David was able to rise above because he was prepared. The brothers thought they were ready, but they weren't, because God knew that he needed somebody that would run after Goliath and charge and not be afraid and do this incredibly fearless act. David did it out of confidence. He knew, he said, with me and God, pretty much anything is possible. I can slay that giant. I can stop it right where it is. It's a mountain. It's a person that stood in the way of progress, of the progress of God. Sometimes people stand in our way. Some people tell us, they give us negative ideas, and they tell us that's too big, that project's too big. What we're asking you, it's too big, it's too much, and they complain. Do you ever have your associates complain and complain? They moan and complain about everything. You know what I'm saying? But yet, those are giants. Those are obstacles. And God says, if I'm with you, who can be against you? Tell me who can be against you. That's what he was telling David. And you know, the story, David was just a young lad. And he was anointed to be king at a very young age. And when he became king, he made some big mistakes. Right? But you know what? They were mistakes. They were sins. And he lamented those sins with God, who is his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he is big in mercy. He's big in forgiveness. He's big in kindness to those whose hearts are after him. For those of us who put God first in our lives and we recognize him and we call on his name, he will give us the strength and the power to overcome the obstacles, the naysayers, the people who are doubters. He'll give you the confidence to do whatever he's called you to do. Listen, he'll do more than we can think or imagine. Think about the greatest thing you'd love to do. What's your passion? What is it? What's your passion? What do you want to do? What do you see yourself becoming? What do you see? Short term, longer term. How are you? What is God calling to you? What's he saying to you in that still small voice? I've said this in the past. If it seems impossible, that's probably God. I know. All we have to do is yield our lives, and God gives us supernatural strength. Listen, it's not about us. It's about him, right? It's always about him. And even though these guys had failed, I mean, you think today, we look across our leadership horizon, and you know, we hope our leaders will serve us well. And you know, if they make a mistake, we pretty much crucify them in our. But none of them have murdered anybody, or you know what I mean? Not any of that. And you know, David, of course, murdered and was a pretty much a you know. He had an adulterer. I was going to say something else because I think it really was something else. But anyway, some young children, so we'll just skip that. But what I'm saying is, too often, we think we're not good enough. And we begin to not depend on the power and the presence of God in our life. So we just think we're not good enough vessels. Let me assure you that we're not alone. These men, these incredible men, and their incredible women, Deborah, Esther, there are hundreds of examples. Example after example after example of those who have done incredible things for God, even in spite of their own shortcomings. So if you have any shortcomings today, if you're not perfect, if you've made a few mistakes in your life, you're just the perfect candidate to be a shepherd of God's kingdom. Yes, you are. And God wants to do that. He's longing to do that. He's longing for people to bathe themselves in his presence. That's why in 1 John, he kind of changes the dynamic. It's we're sheep, he's the shepherd. He changes it from that kind of disconnect. You know, you got a shepherd and you got sheep. Sheep are animals. He changes it in 1 John. He says, your children lavished with love. God, who has lavished us, as the NIV says, we read the new King James Version today. The NIV says he's lavished his love upon his children. Think about that just for a minute. He's lavished us with love. all of us, each one of us who call him by name. He's lavished his love on us. We're his children. We're his children. We're his kids. And Jesus says, what parent, if a child said, give me bread, would give him a snake? What he's saying is, when your kids come to you and they say, Mom, Dad, can I have this? Would you do this for me? No, I'm not doing that for you, but I'll do this awful thing for you. Most parents, prudently, want the very best for their children. Do you know what I'm saying? They want the very best, and they want the children to grow up and blossom and flower and do more incredible things than God's done in their life. They want them to rise above. All of us, my parents still do. Your parents did. If you're a parent, you want your children to find that tremendous place of peace and blessing and prosperity and goodness and hope and love in all that they do. Right? God has lavished his love on his children. That's us. That's us. We're his children. We're not just sheep anymore. We're co-heirs, as Paul says. We're heirs of the throne. We're heirs to it. Joint heirs. Grafted in. And so because of that, he will give us the strength, the courage, the power to overcome the issues that we have, the things that we hold us, the things that hold us back. When we recognize that he's lavished his love on us, he's poured out these good things in our life, we recognize that he's calling us to a new level, then we become shepherds. I might remind you that all of us in this room are priests. You know that, right? Not just priests, royal priests, royalty. So wherever you are, don't consider where you are. Consider who you are. Reconsider. You think you don't have this, you're lacking this? Perfect. God can use that and make it the exact thing that he can use in your life to promote you, to reach others. There's in Acts chapter 4, there's a passage that says this is called the believer's prayer. I want to read this to you, and I'm going to pray it over you. Because, you know, there's not a lot of us here today. There's so many people out ministering, and so I'm so glad you came. Because I hope you're glad you came, but there's so many times where we sell ourselves just way too short. We really do. And the Apostle Peter and John recognized that after Jesus had died and was raised again, they needed a supernatural power. And so here's what they said in Acts chapter 4. It says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And here's what they say. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord, against his anointed one. Indeed, this is still the prayer, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided before should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats. And here it is. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand and heal them for miraculous signs. I'm sorry. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Man, I want to get that in my spirit. I want to get that prayer. Because I just felt like that's the prayer that they're saying over us today. Stretch out your hand, Lord. Speak to your shepherds. Speak to your people. That we might be able to proclaim the good news of God every day with boldness, with confidence. When we do that, God, who is faithful, He's our good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. Will bless us, promote us, give us victory in our lives, give us opportunities, stretch our tent stakes, expand who we are. That's really good news. That's the God we serve. He doesn't just work with natural people. He does work with just regular folks. And he does supernatural things through us. So, Lord, today, indeed, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of Jesus Christ for each and every one of us today. Cause your spirit, Lord, to rise up within us. Lord, to recognize our place, to see you and to see us as we are in your eyes, as your children, as those who are ready and able and willing to laugh and love and have joy in our lives and happiness. Lord, pour out your spirit in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, I hope you receive that today, because I just felt like that's what the Lord wanted to remind us. Just remind us who we are in His kingdom. So if you will stand, and we're going to say together the Nicene Creed, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, you will? All right. All right. Let's say together. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds,